And speaking of Aaron Rye, dude, Heiko, who was late for his tee time, fired his caddy.
I saw that.
That's, I mean, and then he said, but it's on me. He goes, the caddy was screaming at me to get over there. He said, I'm a little bit casual. He said, my caddy was yelling at me, hey, you got to get close for your tee time. You got to be within a certain distance of the tee. You know, at that time, he says, I'm a little casual. I'm like, well, then why the hell you fired a guy? Because you can't fire yourself?
Wasn't yelling loud enough.
I guess that's it.
Yeah. What did you call the golfer?
What's the guy's name? Heiko? Heiko?
Call him Haiku.
Heiko, what is it? Ditto?
Garrick Higo.
Higo, okay. Well, Higgy didn't get his rear end close enough, and then he fired his caddy. His caddy should have taken that 9-iron like I did that Roadrunner and got him right behind the legs and said, hey, get over there, dude.
Oh, you should have killed him?
Well, I didn't have to kill him. But he could have swept the knee, maybe. Swept the leg.
You before killed play. That Roadrunner, so I figured you were going there.
No. Dude, I was doing something that you have to do. I was doing something for, you know, even PETA would have been happy with me to do that. They would have said that's the right thing to do.
I don't think so.
Or PETA would have thought he needed major surgery on his little Roadrunner leg. You don't take a bird out.
Yeah, PETA would have asked you to take that to the vet and pay thousands of dollars.
Oh, sorry, PETA.
Repair that knee that you hit with a golf ball.
Well, lucky I didn't do a brick on that thing. I was nice enough to put it on an ant pile so the ants enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's very kind of you, sir. You killing a guy and then just throwing him on a bunch of decomposers. Well done there, sir. Yeah, Garrick Higo, the guy who showed up late to his opening round at the PGA Championship last Thursday. Remember, he was issued a 2-stroke penalty for that. He would have been tied for the lead after round one if he didn't have that penalty. And he ended up missing the cut by one shot after Friday. So that penalty, that punishment ended up costing him money. Remember, if you don't make the cut, you make $0. If you make the cut, you're guaranteed at least five figures in any golf tournament, especially a major. So that penalty, whoever's fault it was, cost him tens of thousands of dollars this past weekend.
I didn't realize the winner made 3.7.
Yeah, 3.7 mil for Aaron Rye. But just making the cut, you're above the poverty line if you make the cut in one major, basically. It's all it takes, just two good days of golf, and there you go. And Garrick Higo, not a household name, guy who doesn't make a ton of money on the PGA Tour compared to some of the guys that we typically talk about. And yeah, it was weird. Like you said, after Thursday, he's like, yeah, my caddy was yelling at me to get on the tee box. I didn't do it. It's my bad. And then he fires his caddy on a Monday.
Yeah, I'm like, how does that work? That's your fault, dude. He's telling you, you need to be over here. You need to get going. What is it that he has to do? Like you said, he's just got to yell louder. He's got to embarrass you to get over there, I guess.
I guess that was it. Yeah, didn't yell loud enough at him. I don't know. Bizarre story, and you feel for the caddy a little bit. But there we go. So there's your random PGA Tour conversation for you. Let's talk about this Brandon Soresby situation here. Obviously, we've talked about him a lot over the last few weeks because of the NCAA doing an investigation into gambling allegations against Brandon Soresby, and it was kind of a whirlwind shockwave sent throughout college football when we initially learned that Brandon Soresby had been betting on college sports, pro sports, his own team for years, dating back to his time at Indiana, transferred to Texas Tech from Cincinnati this offseason, was the number one ranked player in the transfer portal, reportedly got $5 million to transfer to Texas Tech. And again, it was a huge story when we found out that he was betting on sports. Well, we've got an update to this story. Brandon Soresby has filed a lawsuit against the NCAA to expedite his reinstatement process for the 2026 season. The filing was made yesterday in district court in Lubbock County, Texas.
Wow.
It cites the NCAA's deeply hypocritical position on gambling and a wholesale abandonment of its obligations and duties to promote the well-being of Brandon Soresby. The filing says that he suffers from a clinically diagnosed gambling disorder, which is a mental health condition. And the NCAA has weaponized his condition to shore up a facade of competitive integrity while simultaneously profiting from the very gambling ecosystem it policies. Those are direct quotes from the lawsuit itself.
Yeah, although some can be true, some can be a bunch of BS too. I mean, mental health issue, really? Guy's just a poor gambler. You know what I'm saying? I mean, me being an alcoholic, I never blame that on mental health. I blame that on, I just wanted to be a drunk. That's on me. That guy just wanted to be a gambler, and he would still be gambling if he didn't get caught. All his mental health issues are a bunch of crap. That dude just got caught, or he would still be placing $5 bets. I mean, what a way to screw up people that really have mental health issues.
Yeah.
Now he didn't know years ago when he first did this that he was going to get $5 million from Texas Tech. But to blame that on some mental health issue, come on, dude.
Yeah, well, it's you and I take mental health very seriously, and I think most people realize that it's a very important thing that
absolutely
you want to get taken care of, and you want to keep in a good spot. And it annoys me when people just break the law or break rules or just do random stuff, and they're like, "Oh, mental health," and it just totally devalues the people who are actually dealing with serious mental health issues. And
yeah, I mean,
it's just a college kid who liked betting on sports, so he bet on sports.
And he got caught
betting on sports like that. He didn't turn himself into that treatment facility just on his own. He knew someone told him, "Hey, dude, they got you.
Yeah,
there's a lot of evidence against you. Let's try to do something to get you playing football again so you don't lose your senior year and your chance to play in the NFL.
And pick up like, 5 million bucks.
Now I have mental health. Now all of a sudden I have mental health problems, and I don't blame me. It's my mental." It's ridiculous. Makes me so mad.
No, and they're screwing the school, and you know, they're screwing them. They can't get prepared because they don't have a quarterback. Well, that's your fault. You picked the wrong knucklehead that likes to gamble on sports and gamble on the sport that he plays. That's just a bunch. I don't think getting lawyers involved, and we know the NCAA is weak, but I think this one that the nation and even the president of the United States gathered a bunch of people together about this issue alone, about NIL and what we're going to do for college sports. I don't think they're going to let this one get by, BK. I think there's going to be far too many people who are saying, screw this kid.
Well, it's funny. I mean, we played some sound from Steve Sarkisian talking about this recently, where it was that big article. It wasn't sound. It was that written article he did with USA Today, the same one where he made the basket weaving joke about Ole Miss.
Right.
He's like, no one listens to the NCAA. You just file a lawsuit if you disagree with something that they say, and that's what Texas Tech is doing.
And so, what do they have? Do they got a tech judge or something now?
Well, they actually do. I mean, the judge who is assigned to this case, remember, it was filed in Lubbock County, Texas. The judge is named Philip Hayes, who is a Lubbock native and twice a graduate of Texas Tech University. So,
well, maybe they won't be making an example out of it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the powers that be.
This is a real picture of the judge, for those of you watching the show, standing next to the Texas Tech mascot a few years ago with his guns up and a big smile on his face. This is the guy residing over the case here. So, look, the NCAA, I mean, they're obviously going to fight this thing, and I think they're going to do whatever they can to win this one. But remember, Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss, the NCAA ruled him ineligible. They sued in Mississippi State Court, and the court ruled him eligible, and now Chambliss is playing in 2020.
Didn't they have a judge also is from the University of Mississippi?
Yes. So different scenarios, apples to oranges. I think the NCAA is going to fight this one a heck of a lot harder. And it feels like Trinidad Chambliss didn't really do anything wrong. He didn't break any rules. He's just trying to play more than he probably should be allowed to play. Brendan Sorsby broke a bunch of rules that the NCAA have had in place for years. And he's saying that, it doesn't matter. I should still be allowed to play.
Bro was betting on the Turkish Basketball League. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got issues. Yeah. But they ain't mental. That's when you, like I said, he didn't know at one time he was going to end up making, you know, but he didn't need the money. This wasn't a kid who oh, he needed it for the family. He had to do this. He had to take these chances to support his family. That's a bunch of crap. I just think this is one that's not going to get, he's not going to make it, BK. I think even the higher powers, you know, and the government are going to step in and say, we got to put a stop. This is where we draw the line. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I have friends who are degenerate gamblers too. They're just degenerate gamblers.
Yeah, right? Sorry.
They know
they don't have any mental health issues. They're just gamblers.
They're not suing anybody because they're degenerate gamblers. They're just degenerate gamblers. That's how it goes sometimes. Sorsby has been in an inpatient residential treatment facility since late April. And a quote that he said in the included affidavit, if I cannot practice with the team, it will be severely detrimental to my mental health and my development as an athlete. Without access to coaching teammates and on-field repetitions, I cannot develop the chemistry and skills necessary to start at quarterback in the 2026 season. And each additional day away compounds that harm. These developmental opportunities cannot be replaced or replicated. And
that $5 million I'm supposed to collect, I can't get the rest of my money, y'all.
Oh, that missed the affidavit. I guess that was left out somehow. the filing claims that Sorsby offered to accept a 2-game suspension based on completing his residential treatment for his gambling condition. And he also offered to work with the NCAA to educate others on the dangers of gambling, but the NCAA rejected the offer.
If you get to play in just 2 games?
Yeah.
That's what
the rule says. You're ineligible, but I'll say 2 games. You say I'm ineligible, but how about 2 games? Is that fair? Like, you want $1 million, I'll give you $50,000. You're going to say yes to that, right? That's basically what Brendan Sorsby did. Like, you're looking for $1 million. I'll offer you $50,000. That's the best I could do. You said no. Well, that's detrimental to my mental health.
Yeah. How I mean, you? Of course they're going to throw this back at the schools that are in bed with with FanDuel and everything else. And everybody's pushing gambling sites. So that's one way they can do it. But that whole mental health thing, that's just, I'm not buying that. Not for this kid's case.
Betting on his own team. I mean, the rules, yes, it's very hypocritical. We've acknowledged that many a times, right?
And all sports now.
Right. The fact that, like, athletes, college athletes, pro athletes, whatever, they can't bet on their league or their teams or their sport. For college kids, it's any sports. And yet every commercial break when you're watching one of these sports on TV is for FanDuel or DraftKings or Kalshi or whatever. It's very hypocritical. But the rules are what they are. They're set in stone, and the kid broke the rules. And that's, like, he's going to get punished for that. I love these quotes, too, from Brendan Sorsby. This almost feels like the Onion sum of this lawsuit. It feels too funny to be real. Quote, I rationalize placing those bets as a way to feel more connected to the team, to root for my friends, and to feel like I had a real stake in the games I was otherwise not involved in.
Dude, you need to shut up. That is so dumb. That's so dumb sounding.
So he wouldn't have had any friends.
Is he trying to sound like he has a mental health? He's trying to sound like he's got,
I think, so. Health. He's trying to be like, I would have been super depressed. Nobody would have liked me. I would have had no friends if I couldn't bet on Indiana football when I was a backup on the
Indiana.
If I couldn't
bet with my roommates, in these games.
Nobody would have liked me at all. Like, he also said,
he's not,
this
dude,
is the
he's
funniest
not
part. He's looking for sympathy or empathy or both from people here.
I'm telling you, they're not going to fall for that. As you know, the president of the United States brought a bunch of people together for some of these guys that are going to do that. They're not going. This is going to be the example of the examples. They're not going to let. They're not going to have. I don't care what the judge is in the state of Texas. They're going to say, nope, you're not getting away with this one. And you're not doing this.
The judge is going to say yes, you're free.
Oh, yeah, he's
going to
say yes.
Somebody else is probably going to be like, no, you can't play. Somebody who didn't graduate.
There's no reason to have it. Like we all think, there's no reason to have the NCAA. If they can't get this one done, you're absolutely right. They have zero power.
Zero power.
This one looks like a close the case on this one. This one is just a guy being greedy.
There's so much evidence out there, and he's also admitted to it. It's not like he's saying, no, y'all are wrong, I didn't place these bets. He's not fighting the allegations. He checked into a treatment facility for this, and even in this affidavit where he's filing this lawsuit, he's like talking about his bets. So he's literally openly admitted multiple times that he is breaking the rules that are very clear and cut and dry.
Yeah, and maybe I'm being too harsh, but when he first did it, I said, that guy's just falling on the sword to get back and have some sympathy. And I may be wrong. Maybe the guy is, obviously, hey, he does have a gambling problem. That's for sure.
Yeah, he was betting on the Turkish football league.
Nickels and dimes and $5, $10 bets.
He was betting on the Turkish football league. He was betting on Romanian soccer games, random tennis matches, the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on July 4th.
He's just a dope.
Which, nothing wrong with betting on the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Yeah.
That's one of your favorites.
Yeah, all right. Just bet on Joey Chestnut every time. I don't care what the odds are. You're going to win your money, so I'll take that to the bank. But, yeah, this guy was betting on anything and everything. Like you said, a bunch of small bets. I mean, he was betting on balls and strikes. That was a story that came out when this story initially dropped. It was like he would go to Reds games in Cincinnati and just bet on balls and strikes in the stands.
Yeah, really.
Crazy. So
his buddies were beside him in the stands there when he's
betting. We're not going to talk to you if you don't bet this pitch, Brendan.
Yeah, that's
we're not going to be your friend anymore if you don't bet on this.
Yeah, once again, this is before the big money came in to play with him. So he didn't realize he's going to make, maybe if he realized he was going to be getting $5 million in that final season, if he could have gone back to the past, would he have done this? I would venture to say he probably got mental health issues if he would have said, yeah, I still would have been betting. If you knew you're going to make $5 million in your senior year. But I'm not buying the mental health issue. I think this is just too easy for him to say.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's doing whatever he possibly can to play. And I get it. Like, I understand why he wants to play college football. He wants to make the $5 million, but also this is a guy who could be an NFL draft pick with a really good season this year.
And he still could get in the supplementary draft. He has time.
Yeah, well, that's part of this case, is that he's looking for a ruling by the middle of June, because the NFL supplemental draft is June 22nd. I should say the deadline to enter the supplemental draft is June 22nd. So he needs to know, or he wants to know by then, like, hey, if I'm allowed to play college football, then I won't enter the supplemental draft. But if I'm not, then I'm going to try to go to the NFL as quickly as I can, because they're not going to punish me for this.
Yeah, but although they can be pissed at you and say, well, I mean, in the supplemental draft, is there a number? There's no, obviously there are no rounds. You just get drafted by whatever team and make whatever money that you would just gamble away. But
yeah, supplemental draft is teams place blind bids, more so how it works, more of an auction than like your typical NFL draft that we all watch in late April every year.
Well, that dude would get more than $5 million for the year if he's a quarterback. And he was going to be he would have been one of those top tiered guys. If he'd have got to Texas Tech and had a decent year, he would have been one of those. He would still make more than $5 million in a year.
Yeah, I mean, there were mock drafts for 2027 that had him as a first-round pick. Like, he wasn't ahead of, Arch Manning or Dante Moore or some of, like, the top-end guys who were projected for next year.
So, sorry, you're going to supplemental draft and make $8 million for the year.
I don't know. I don't know how much it is. I don't think it's that. I don't think that's the salary for a player in the supplemental draft.
Quarterback? Maybe.
It's pretty rare that we see it, but
right.
The teams place bids on these guys, and they also have to forfeit a draft pick as part of their bid too. So
didn't Josh Gordon went into the supplemental draft.
Yeah. Josh Gordon was like the last sort of big name player to be a part of the supplemental draft.
Now
been 46 players picked in the supplemental draft. It's been around since 1977.
Yeah.
So it's a very rare thing. Some years, and 2019 was the last time anybody got drafted in the supplemental draft at all. It's been a long time since it's even happened.
Well, I think we all believed that he had addiction problems, because that guy, once he even got to the league, he just kept doing it. He got in the supplement and he couldn't stop.
Couldn't stop. And it used to be illegal in the league.
Yeah.
And that hurt Josh Gordon for sure. Hell of a player. One more quote here from Brendan Sorsby. This is the funniest one here. Again, looking for some empathy from, I don't know, the court of public opinion, but maybe the actual courts as well. He said, quote, "Because the Indiana football team was not a very strong competitor in 2022, I lost most of the bets I placed End quote. Don't hold it against me. I'm an idiot. I was losing bets. I lost all my money. It's not like I was winning a bunch of money. I should be allowed trying to play.
He's trying everything he can to make you understand he is not mentally stable. He's got issues.
Ignore that I was betting on my own team, and that's the most against the rules thing maybe there is in college sports. Ignore that. We were so bad, I was losing all that money. And I wanted friends. Doesn't everybody want friends?
Dude, I'm going to say that they're not going to fall for this one.
Well, good old boy Texas Tech Judge is going to be like, he's going to be having a tear up there. He's going to be crying. This guy needs friends. Can't have this kid not have friends. We have to let him play. Can't stunt his development. I don't know, man.
When I decided to turn into a drunk, I didn't have any many people crying for me. Well, I didn't cry for myself.
You're good enough at football. Sorry.
I just became a drunk. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
If this was the fourth string quarterback for Texas Tech, they'd say, we're not going to sue anybody. You're on your own, kid.
There's a lawyer down there. We got some court-appointed lawyers just for you.
Yeah, exactly. This is the $5 million man who – I mean, Texas Tech could still be good. Will Hammond's good coming off that ACL injury, though. We'll see how effective he can be when he's able to play. Yeah, I mean, Tech made the playoff last year. They won the Big 12 last year with Brendan Sorsby. They feel like they could do both of those things again. I'd pick him to do both of those things again if he was playing. But so you understand why they're fighting as hard as they are, and you understand why the kid is fighting as hard as they are. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head, dude. If the NCAA loses this one, they have zero power. We already know they don't have much anymore.
Right, yeah.
But if they can't win this one,
this one's locked. You don't get any closer to being locked up than this one. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. It will be fascinating to watch this thing unfold. And maybe we'll get an answer again. He's looking for an answer within the next month.
Yes, so he is.
This story will continue to unfold, but – yeah, another bombshell.
Go on to be a Hall of Famer, NFL Hall of Fame player.
That'd be something,
wouldn't it?
I'd kind of root for that as a documented Texas Tech hater. It's like, I hope he doesn't play a single down for Texas Tech. They waste all that $5 million. He goes to the NFL, balls out, and they got to think, oh, what could have been?
And you want him to get, and you want him to get every cent of that $5 million.
Of course I do. Oh, so he's got to bet. He's got to bet the hot dog eating contest with me.
Oh my God. This Come guy's on, betting man. On Turkish basketball right. game, probably betting on cricket. Oh man.
At Brendan Sorsby, I've got plenty of friends who are degenerate gamblers. It's not saying he's a bad kid or anything like that. You should go to jail. It's just there are consequences to your actions in this life.
Yes, there is.
He broke some rules that it's not like it's, you know, section 122, subsection QQE, like to all these random, this is cut and dry stuff that everybody knows. And any coach will tell you, like, they talk to their team about this every year. You can't bet. You cannot bet.
And yeah, I think they start this at Pop Warner and Little League telling kids, you can't do that. You
can't do that in Pop Warner anymore.
No, I think that's what the age they start trying to pound that into your head. You can't gamble on your sport. You can't gamble on your team. I mean, going in the locker rooms, I've seen it every locker room, going into the NFL locker rooms. I thought that was just a bunch of bull. They don't really have a sign. They have actually a sign there that talks about gambling when you walk into their locker room. You see it every day that you go to practice, BK.
I know. And look, it's hypocritical. I'm willing to
admit it is.
But hey, there's some – every job, you got to make some sacrifices, right? And those guys are paid handsomely to do that job. It's one sacrifice that they've got to make, and Brendan Sorsby could not make it. And he's not alone. He just got caught. He was dumb. He got caught.
Oh no.
Under his own name. He bet a bunch and he got popped for it. Like, that's tough for him. But
if he's got mental issues, guess what? $5 million wouldn't have stopped him. He'd still be doing it.
You're probably right. Get a fall guy.
If he has mental issues.
Get an interpreter. Do what Shohei did.
You just got caught. That's what happened to you.
Just got caught. All of a sudden, my mental health is not where it needs to
be. Oh, my gosh.
Amazing. All right, we'll take your thoughts.
It just sucks for people that do have mental health issues.
I know. I'm with you. All right, we'll get back into the Spurs conversation. Carl Schoening, son of legendary Spurs broadcaster Bill Schoening, but also the studio host for the Spurs Radio Network and a host on the Ticket 760 in San Antonio, is going to join us in a moment. We'll get his breakdown of Game 1 of the West Finals and preview what's to come between the Spurs and the Thunder. We've got the BBK news to dive into as well. But before we go anywhere else, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Say hello to my friends over at Sue Patrick. Father's Day just around the corner, June around the corner, Father's Day. And Dad would love to have one of these great polos, golfing polos that they have at Sue Patrick's. But they have tons of Texas-themed items right there, all kinds of collectibles, accessories. And, of course, they've got books, cards, wide variety of men's and women's clothing. And Sue Patrick offers free shipping on online orders of $59 or more, free curbside pickup, and plenty, folks, of parking space at 5222 Bernard Road. Head on over. Say hello to Jay and the whole gang over there. Say hello to Sue when you're there. Jellycat headquarters, of course. For more information, folks, go to SuePatrick.com.
Yes, indeed. Love Sue Patrick, rocking a Sue Patrick lid this morning. Also, shout out to McCall Custom Homes, our guy, Mike McCall. He said he's going out to your place later this week. Is that true?
Yeah, my bottom gate, somebody's busted the gate. It wasn't the dog. Somebody messing around. The lawn guys did a little damage to the bottom gate. So, of course, Mike knows all about that because he knows about everything to do with a home, a gate, a fence, you name it, a shed. And he knows everything about this place right now. He's been out here so many damn times.
I was going to say, you might as well give him the guest room at this point. McCall Custom Homes. Look, Mike's a great guy. I mean, we trust him with our homes. He's just a great guy to talk to, a great guy to hang out with. But as the Buck said, he knows just about everything there is to know about home projects. When it comes to renovations, when it comes to remodels, when it comes to custom home builds, he does it all. And he and his family have been doing it all for a long time. It's a father-son team. More than four decades of experience here in Central Texas. They know what it takes to turn an Austin area home into something truly, truly special. A-plus rated by the BBB, fully licensed, fully insured. It's top quality at affordable prices. It's seriously everything that you're looking for when you're thinking about a home remodel or a home build. McCall checks all the boxes. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. Don't forget free estimates to listeners of this show, or you can call or text Mike directly. 512-633-9580. It's McCall Custom Homes. We build value into your home.
And of course, our good friend Matt King getting ready for the Ride Project and therideproject.com. For more information, just go to Ride Project, therideproject.com, folks, and give. He's got a couple more weeks before he takes his journey 2,000 miles across this country, and he's going to raise $1 million and give $1 million right back to communities throughout the ride. Meet people face-to-face. If I was him, I'd be sleeping, but he's going to meet these people face to face and help out communities along his route. A 2,000-mile ride, of course, from Mexico all the way to Canada, folks. And we really appreciate him doing this, not only for the state of Texas, but for America. Go to therideproject.com today and give if you can, please.
Yeah, therideproject.com for more information. Shout out to our guy, Matt King, and also some love to Dr. Chad and his team at Sleep Cycle Center. If you are a snorer, if you just feel like you're not getting enough sleep, if you are drowsy during the day, if you've got daytime fatigue, if it takes you too long to fall asleep, or if you struggle staying asleep, reach out to our guy, Dr. Chad, and his great team at Sleep Cycle Center. Two Austin area locations, one in North Austin, 183 in Breaker, the other in Lakeway off of 620. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. That might be you. Don't put this off. This could be the sign of a serious health problem. Get it taken care of. And it's not just CPAP. Everyone thinks about CPAP and, oh, I don't want to deal with that big machine. It's loud. It's annoying. It's uncomfortable. No, they've got other methods to help fix your snoring and to help make your sleeping problems go away forever. Don't leave this stuff to chance. Don't just say, I'll drink 10 cups of coffee and I'll be perfectly fine. Your sleep is the most important thing that you have in this life. Sleepcyclecenters.com. That's the website. Free consultations for Bucky and BK listeners. And you also get $100 off an at-home sleep study if you tell them you heard about it right here on Bucky and BK. All right, we opened up the show talking some San Antonio Spurs basketball, but that game last night was so good, we got to talk about it again. Joining us now to recap game one and to preview the remainder of the Western Conference Finals and the remainder of the Spurs postseason run is Carl Schoening, Spurs Radio Network studio host and a host on the Ticket 760 in San Antonio, guy that you and I have known for a long time. Carl, it's great to see you, man. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Hey, always good to be on with you guys. It's been quite a while since I've run into y'all in real life. And, you know, just glad to see that y'all are still rocking and rolling. You know, Bucky probably, it's one of those things where you have to say he's known me longer than I've known him, because I was just a kid when I probably met Bucky. I don't remember meeting Bucky back on the 40 acres once upon a time.
You know, young man, you are doing a fantastic job, and congratulations to your success too. We do, and do appreciate having you here and talking some Spurs basketball, because you have grown up. You've grown up with the Longhorns, and now you've grown up with the Spurs, my friend.
Yeah. It's been quite a 25-year journey. 24 of those years, my dad was on the radio broadcast, and he retires, and that opens up a slot over at iHeart, and iHeart Media brings me on. So I'm really excited to be their studio host this year as they shuffle around how they work things. Dan Weiss, employed by the Spurs, remains employed by the Spurs, but moves over to the radio play-by-play position. And it's been just an unreal first year covering the Spurs. My first full year covering the Spurs as like a member of their broadcast team. I've done their Austin Spurs for the last decade, but you know, just to see the way they've really made it a contending title team this year, it's been wild.
And how's your pops doing? How's your family doing? Everybody doing good?
Oh yeah, they're enjoying retirement. My mom and dad decided they were going to retire together. So, you know, raised a few eyebrows when my dad called it quits before, you know, dying. But, you know, that was basically where it came down to, was he wanted to retire with my mom, and my mom did not have a fun job, so she was excited to retire, and they're enjoying it together.
That is great to hear, man.
Joining us here on Bucky and BK. Well, maybe you deserve some credit for the Spurs season, since this is your first year as kind of full-time working with them. What a year it's been. But let's just talk about last night's game first, and then we can get to some big-picture Spurs conversation. I mean, so many twists and turns, a roller coaster ride. That felt like a full seven-game series in one game. Your big thoughts, your big takeaways from the Spurs holding off Oklahoma City 122-115 in double overtime on the road last night.
Oh, man, I host the morning show in San Antonio, and the entire 2 hours was dedicated to the Spurs. So I really don't know where to start in this one, but it's a big deal for the Spurs to go up to Oklahoma City and get at least one of those two games and claim home court, if you will, take home court advantage away from OKC. And now they're just going to have to play greedy. And hopefully De'Aaron Fox is able to come back for game two. That creates some more momentum. But there's no way that you can talk about that game without talking about Victor Wembanyama. He sees SGA get the MVP award, an MVP award that he thought he should have won. And he goes out there and he's no doubt about it, the best player on the court, and proves that he's probably the best player in the world, something we didn't need confirmation of or any hardware in San Antonio, but I think he put the rest of the world on notice that there's nobody better than him.
Let me ask you this, Carl. Is he the kind of young man that, although, you know, the whole nation sees how good he is, and, you know, the guy who won it, you know, it's just a regular season award. He's won it back-to-back years and is a fabulous player, just a fabulous player himself. But is Victor one of those guys that outright just talks about, I should have won this, I should have won this? Or is he just a guy that he knows he's got plenty of these awards to come, and he just shows you by the way he plays every day? He doesn't speak that much about that award, does he?
He was asked about it, and obviously I feel like if you ask any professional athlete if they feel like they should be in consideration, something that they should legitimately be in consideration for, they'll give you their reasoning why they believe that. And he did get asked about it during the regular season, and he laid out a few points of why he deserved to win it. And really, it's something I've been saying since his rookie year. It's hard to explain, but he's probably the best player in the league just based off his defense alone. And it's not necessarily accurate, but the way he plays defense is for example, last night, the Spurs were able to implement a strategy where they double teamed SGA, and that did leave Alex Caruso and several other Thunder players open for three, but nobody was going to take advantage of that four on three disadvantage, because Wimby was there to protect the paint the entire night. And if you have somebody like him, who not just the height and length that he brings, but the athleticism and the anticipation and the skill, he is you know, I don't want to be hyperbolous, but it's really how I feel. The best defender I've ever seen. And it is in part because of his gifts, but also because of his cerebralness. So yeah, he'll call out everybody and say that he deserved to win MVP, but he won't do it unless asked and prompted to in the, you know, several media sessions that they have over the year.
Yeah, Carl Schoening joining us here, talking some San Antonio Spurs basketball. You can follow him on Twitter at OnAirCarl with a K. You know, we can talk about Wimby for 10 hours. He was so good last night, and he's been so good all year. But I want to ask you about Dylan Harper. I mean, he had a solid regular season, but there were some folks around the league wondering, did the Spurs get this pick right at number two? Should they have gone with VJ Edgecombe? Should they have gone in a different direction? And then Harper has just elevated his game, averaging more points, more assists, more rebounds, more everything in the playoffs. It's supposed to be hard for a young player to succeed at this time of the year. He's almost making it look easy. 24 points last night, 11 assists, just one turnover. You know, without De'Aaron Fox, he had to step up, and he did. Would love to get your thoughts on just the very quick maturation of the rookie Dylan Harper.
He's actually been an impact player for the Spurs from day one. And there was a lot of question, did the Spurs have too many point guards? And Steph Castle and De'Aaron Fox have really kind of shared the on and off ball opportunities in the starting lineup. But then he has become the engine that makes the second unit run the entire season. He strained his calf the sixth game of his career, and it felt like an immediate big blow because he really was that much of an instant impact player. He was only a teenager until March 2nd, and he already holds the NBA record for 15-plus point games, 5-plus assist games on 70% shooting as a teenager. And I know that that's a very specific stat, but you have to remember players like LeBron James had a full year, 2 years as a teenager in the NBA. Kobe Bryant had 3 years as a teenager in the NBA. And the fact that he was able to do stuff like that at that sort of efficiency and distribution and scoring potential, he has all-star and superstar written all over him. And yeah, VJ Edgecombe and Con Knipple and, of course, Cooper Flagg, who was drafted ahead of him, all had starting roles and bigger roles on their teams. But he has been more than perfect for what the Spurs needed in the backup point guard role.
You know, Carl, this is a team that during the regular season, you know, it's a young, very, very young team. But it's a team that, what are they going to be like once they find out that once they have a lead on somebody and they can stretch a lead, teams won't be able to come back on them. They'll have that maturity where, you know, they have those little lulls where they get a big lead and then all of a sudden teams get a chance to do some things. There are other skilled players too besides the ones that are on the court for the Spurs. It's a very skilled league. But I think once this group starts to understand that, you know, you got 15, 17-point leads, see you later. You're not coming back. And that's not only during the playoffs. That'll be during the regular season. Can this team be that type of team that once they get a lead that nobody's catching up to them and they'll win even more games?
I think so. And that's sort of the maturation process we've seen from this team over the last couple of years. Last year, they had trouble finishing games. They didn't necessarily know how to win. They figured out how to win this season, and they're only going to get better. And last night was a great example of what Wimby could be when he just decides that he's going to play and score 15 feet and in. Because, yeah, he has the ability to be a perimeter player, but if he really wants to go old school and just dominate around the rim, there's not much you can do. The Thunder were ready to triple team him if he had 2 feet in the paint. So, you know, that's the type of guy that you have, and you surround him with shooters in today's NBA, and you're going to be lethal. And they already are sort of that team. Oklahoma City, they're equal with him, but I'd say 25 teams in the NBA, they're not going to have a chance 9 times out of 10 against this Spurs squad.
Sure.
Yeah, Carl Schoening joining us here on Bucky and BK. A couple more for you, Carl. I mean, look, you said it. I think the Spurs' goal was to take one of these first two games in Oklahoma City, but just obviously the job's not done. Long way to go in this series. What do the Spurs need to do, need to continue to do, need to improve on to find a way to win three of these next six games to advance to the NBA Finals?
It was a poor shooting night last night, only 30% from three. So if the Spurs can shoot 33%, I don't think there's any team in the NBA that can beat them on a good shooting night. They need to limit the turnovers, 21 turnovers. They were plus 7 in terms of turnover differential there against Oklahoma City. So take better care of the basketball. But other than that, nothing really. Get De'Aaron Fox back. That'll be huge, obviously. You can move Dylan Harper back to his role off the bench, and then you can start winning those reserve minutes. I don't think that they should change their game plan against SGA, because you see Alex Caruso had his best playoff performance in terms of shooting. He made 8 threes last night, and that's the sort of trade-off you're going to have if you're going to slow SGA down. You're going to double-team him, get the ball out of his hands, and live with the shots that are put up by the Thunder.
Yeah, and Carl, his ability, Wimby's ability to play through the physicality, that guy was on the floor about 4 times last night. I mean, they knocked him to the floor where he gets right back up and gets after it. And those games at OKC, they just let him play. I mean, there are a couple fouls that really could have been called. He could have been at the free throw line a lot more last night. But I thought they let the physicality, they just let it go. And I got to believe there's some arenas when it's away from, you know, San Antonio, they just let it go and they figure he's so tall. Boy, he takes some physical punishment hitting that floor, and he did last night.
Yeah, and that's been the MO to try and slow Wimby down since he was a 16-year-old teenager playing in France. He needs to be met with some physicality, and he plays through it because now you look up, he's 22. He's been dealing with that for several years of his life and in men's leagues since he was a teenager. And yeah, there are certain whistles. Like I would say Minnesota was a much tougher foul to draw. And last night I actually thought that they set the tone pretty early. We'll let you play a little physical, but we will call the fouls on you. And Wimby got to the free throw line, I believe it was 14 times. And it was exactly what you want to see as a Spurs fan, that the refs, within reason, protected Wimby, but he still had to finish through all the physical play. And he's used to it. And it's something that it's really your only choice as an opponent, because if you don't try and play physical with him, he's just going to dunk it on you all night.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He's unlike anything the league has ever seen. And I know you mentioned it a couple of times, Carl, the fact that he's only 22 is just mind-boggling. Everyone has a conversation. If he stays healthy, we know we could be watching maybe the greatest player who's ever picked up a basketball. And it's insane what he's been able to do so early in his career. Carl, this was fun, man. Really appreciate your time. Hopefully we get the chance to do this again later in the Spurs postseason run, but I'll echo what the Buck said, man. Congratulations on your career success. You're doing a tremendous job down there in the Alamo City, and we appreciate you giving us a few minutes here on a Tuesday.
Oh, y'all know I miss my hometown, Austin. I miss seeing y'all, so anytime. Y'all feel free to reach out to me. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Thank you, Carl.
Likewise, Carl. There he goes. Carl Schoening. Follow him on Twitter at OnAirCarl with a K. Again, the Spurs Radio Network studio host. He hosts the morning show on the Ticket 760 down in the 210. And
our word is Wimby's still asleep.
Wimby's still asleep. That's what your sources are telling you?
Yeah, my source is saying he's still in bed.
You got a camera in his place or something? What is that?
He has a bed. I don't know how long his bed must be. Man.
How do you know that? You got
someone I have people.
My sources in or under his bed, like watching him. What's the deal there?
My sources are that he's still in the rack.
He got racked? Your source racked him while he was in bed?
He's still sleeping. He will not be up until like 1 o'clock today.
Okay, yeah, I wonder. You know, only one day off in this series. They'll be back at it tomorrow night, game 2 in Oklahoma City. I wonder, I mean, typically you have a shoot around and some practice on these off days in these series. I wonder if both teams are like, you know what, let's just take the freaking day, because that was a war last night, obviously, for both teams, and huge dub for the Spurs. And obviously, Oklahoma City will be in desperation mode tomorrow night.
Yes, they will.
They're trying to even up the series before it goes to the Frost Bank Center.
Yeah, and the cool thing for the Spurs is they got those young guys that can double up SGA. You know, they got guys that are really athletic and physical that can double him up. And so as he's flopping around and falling down, you don't have to do much to make him go to the ground, you know?
Yeah, SGA had a horrible night. I mean, I know he ended up with 24 points and 12 assists and 5 steals. You just look at like parts of the box score and it's like, well, how can you say that was horrible? But he was 7 of 23. He was minus 15. He had the worst plus minus of anybody on the floor. He had 4 turnovers, which was more than anybody else on Oklahoma City. He just was out of sorts and out of rhythm all game long.
Yeah, they got what they like to do. They got turnovers and they get their baskets off. You know, they didn't give up a lot, but they did get the Spurs to turn it over. That's how OKC wins a bunch of games.
Well, that's the thing. Like the Spurs shot 30% from three. They were 13 of 43 from three. That's not very good. And they had 21 turnovers and they still won. So it's like, it's not like the Spurs, it took a, I know Wemby was otherworldly, but like, it's not like the Spurs played the perfect game and they barely won. So if you're Oklahoma City, you're like, well, they're not going to play that well. The Spurs didn't shoot it well and they turned it over 21 times and Aaron Fox didn't play and they still won. So yeah, I mean, if you're San Antonio, you got to be feeling, I think most Spurs fans and definitely people inside the organization felt good about the Spurs chances going in, but you got to feel even better now after winning that game. Sure. Yeah. So game two tomorrow night. Congrats to you. You did have 100,000 units on the Spurs plus 6.5.
But
you also had 200,000 units on the game 7 in the NHL last night.
Oh my God, was that horrifying.
You had the Buffalo Sabres, which I don't know why you would ever bet anything on a Buffalo sports team in a big postseason game. We've seen it with the Bills forever. And honestly, if you're a hockey fan, we've seen it with the Sabres forever too.
Yes, they're not very good in game sevens.
It's like Minnesota almost. You know, it's just you expect them to collapse in the biggest of moments.
In this 4 minutes in there until they were down 1-0. It didn't take long to get to the second goal either.
They were down 2-0. They came back. They tied it at 2. They forced overtime, and they give up the game winner from Alex Newhook. It was a pretty harmless shot that should have been stopped. Buffalo,
did that go off a stick? That went off the heel, no, did it not?
I don't think so. It looked like just a clean shot that beat Lekkonen, the goalie for Buffalo. And, I mean, look, the Sabres were the better team last night. They probably deserved to win.
Yeah, but their goalie was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Dobish, the rookie for Montreal, was incredible in that game. And Buffalo collapsed. So Montreal moves on, and you lost 200,000 units on that game, which means you lost 100,000 units for the night, which means you are now down 200,000 units again for these playoffs.
And I'll take 100,000 units on the New York Knickerbockers.
We have reached the final four in both sports. You are running out of time. That's the only game. No hockey game tonight. The conference finals don't begin for them until tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll just take that quickly on the Knickerbockers.
Do you care what the line is?
The line has got to be 4.5 to
7.5.
7.5. Ooh. Ooh. 7.5.
At MSG, Knicks.
Yeah, Brunson. They're Brunson, Carl Anthony Towns. They'll have it going on tonight. Yes, right. I'll take the Knicks. They'll have one of those games where they blow them out, and the rest of them will be all close.
Okay. All right. So there's your one gold star.
It doesn't matter, folks. I'll get it all back when the Western Conference winner takes on any of these two teams.
Now you've been saying I'll get it all back for a while, and you haven't gotten it all back. So
no.
You still got time, but the hourglass is.
And I'll be taking Carolina in hockey.
Okay. Yeah, you've got game one, and that's not till Thursday. The West final starts tomorrow. That's Vegas and Colorado on the Western Conference side of things. So there you go. All right.
We have time, people. Everything's good. Your summer vacation. I know June's just around the corner. We'll get everything straight.
Three little birds. Every little thing is going to be all right.
Every little thing is going to be all right.
According to the Buck. Buck Marley.
Sorsby told me everything is going to be good.
If you're getting your gambling advice from him, then I'm going to start fading you.
He's awful. He's got mental health issues. Yeah, he does.
You're right. We shouldn't be making fun of a guy who's dealing with some serious mental health.
No, he's dealing with some serious I got caught.
Yeah, I think so. All right, we'll get to the BBK news here in a moment. Before we do that, quick sponsor shout out to our friends at Early Bird CBD.
Yeah, man, I got to have me a couple drops today.
Golf day, right?
Golf day today, back pain. Golf day today, back pain before I even play, folks. This is back pain that started on Thursday. I've still got it. Love my relaxed back chair. But the drops and the gummies have been saving me on the course with some extra movement out there. So I'm going to go drops today and see how that works out for tomorrow.
Love the Early Bird CBD products. It's a local Austin company that makes products designed to make you feel good. CBD plus a microdose of THC. If you're getting drug tested at work, this stuff is not for you. But if you're looking to take the edge off, if you're looking to relax, if you're looking to unwind, maybe alleviate some pain like the Buck, early bird CBD. I love this stuff, especially on weekends, just late at night. I'm chilling. I don't have much going on. I just want to relax, enjoy my evening, and get a great night's sleep. Boom. Take an early bird gummy, or I'll pop some of this in my drink. This stuff is fantastic. So many of y'all have purchased early bird CBD products, and we can't thank you enough for supporting our sponsors. I think this is going to help you support yourself as well. Give these a go. 20% off with the promo code Bucky at earlybirdcbd.com. Think of the feeling of a couple of glasses of wine deep, but you don't have to worry about the hangover the next day. That's what early bird.
Making those birdies today and taking some money from my buddies.
The early birdies tonight.
Yeah, what do I do today? Do I move up? Do I move up like I'm supposed to, or do I play where they are and say, I'm sick of all this wine, and now that I've moved up and I'm winning, now should I move back with you guys, or I deserve this, don't I?
You've been moved up, right?
Yeah, I've been moved up. Yeah.
And your buddies are complaining that you're moved up.
Oh, you're gaining 900 yards. You're gaining 700. Why don't you just putt the ball to the greens? It's not my fault I'm getting old. It just happened that way.
Yeah, sorry you're not as old as I am.
Yeah, sorry you're not an old man.
Yeah, don't fall into their trap. They're trying to...
It's a trap?
Yeah, they're trying to get in your head. They're trying to move you back to their tees because they know they got a better chance of winning if you're playing from distance.
I said, I'll move to your tees if you move one back. I mean, that makes there sense, right?
Yeah, you want me on your tees? Then I want y'all on those tees.
They won't do it.
You don't make the rules. These are rules that are out there, right?
No, I don't make the rules. The rules are out there. I move one up from wherever they are.
And you could have done that years ago, right? You could have done that at 65.
Yeah. Yes, and I just said I would wait till I was 70.
Yeah.
But then I did have to write a text, the chain text that says, no matter what, I will not be moving up to the ladies' tee box. No matter where they play from, I can't go to the reds.
No, yeah, make your own tee box before you do that. Put something between the whites.
I'll take two steps back from the reds.
Exactly. Yeah, tell your buddies if they want you to be playing at their tees, that they owe you for all the rounds of golf that you've given to them over the years.
And I can get that house in Colorado this summer.
How's that for the trade-off right there?
Yeah.
Fair deal. You guys are asking for something from me. I'm asking for something from you, you know?
They're not going to do that. That's for sure.
That is amazing. Oh, man. Also, ATX Indoor Golf Club. I'll give those guys a quick shout out. That's where I go to work on my game. It's going to be raining for most of the week. I'll be over there hitting some golf balls on their TrackMan simulators that they've got. ATXIndoorGolfClub.com for more information. Definitely check them out.
And how's our buddy Ashish over at 7-Eleven? How is he doing?
You know, I was at 7-Eleven the other day filling up, and I didn't see him there. I need to go check in on our guy Ashish, but the store's still clean. They've got the roller selection down pat. They've got the pizza. They've got the wings. They've got the everything at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they make it so you can't just put your fingers on the roller on the hot dogs and roll it around yourself. They do a good job there.
They've got the tongs.
Please
use the tongs.
Please do, no matter what. Don't let me catch your construction ass in there, putting your fingers in there, please.
Yeah, you don't. Also, just you don't need to tong all of them. Just identify which one you want. Grab the tongs, grab the roller, put it in the bag, and go on get.
By the way, it's also nice to see that 290 now and 71, the extension is through Oak Hill now. No stop. You don't have to. No stoplights, BK. I can go all the way to Jack Allen's now, going on to 71 without stopping, you know, those lights and all that stuff that I still wasn't complaining.
From your way, it's good. From my way, it still sucks.
Oh, it's still okay, but it's okay now all the way through.
Maybe I haven't been in a couple weeks, so maybe it's changed. But last time I was there, it was still construction and barriers everywhere.
It's all good. My boy Todd told me he came from the airport, went on 71 all the way to Jack Allen's. Without a stop. That's awesome.
All right, that's very nice right there. All right. It is about damn time.
No kidding, folks.
BBK News, an abbreviated version of the BBK News. We've got a video here from Six Flags Over Texas. Of course, the theme park in Arlington. You've been there a couple of times, yes?
Yes, I have. We will soon be having one out at Codaland. What is it called? Codaland?
Codaland, yep. Are you a roller coaster guy? I can't remember.
No, I hate them.
Always have.
I'm afraid on them. I've only been on that one here in Arlington, Six Flags, that wooden one, that like the little, the kids one. I get nervous on that one, but I did go on it.
Well, I'm not a big roller coaster guy myself. I won't lie to you. And really, like the theme park, amusement park, whatever you're supposed to call those things, there are no redeeming qualities to those places for me. Because I hate lines, and all you have to do is wait in lines there. It's usually red hot. You got to pay a ton for crappy food and beer. I don't need that. And then I just, there's a bunch of kids running around screaming. There's a damn kid right now outside my place, like screaming. I don't know. It's obnoxious. I'm about to go out there and go off on this kid here. Can't stand the kids. I don't need that. Roller coaster's bad enough. There was a power outage at Six Flags the other day. During the day, while the park's open, while rides are going on. And look at this video of ride goers who were on roller coasters that got stuck. They are having to walk down these like mini stairs from hundreds of feet up in the air to get off the ride because they're stuck while the power's out. Look at this. How high up they are, and they're walking. These people are holding on to the rails for dear life, and they'd be scarier than the ride itself.
Yeah, I don't dig that. I don't dig heights. I don't go mountain climbing. I don't do any, none of that stuff thrills me. Like I said, I don't even get the window seat. I don't even like looking out.
And look, it's so windy up there. You could see like the people's clothes like flying in the wind. This girl's holding on for dear life, barely moving.
She's got that thing wrapped around like she's like a pole vaulter.
I know. There's just a long line too. I might just say, you know what, leave me up here till the power comes back on. I ain't walking down these steps.
Yeah, I'm gonna sit in that little deal that's up there. I'm not getting out and walking anywhere.
You know what I'm doing? I'm like, if I am going down these stairs, I'm going to like the second to the last step, close enough to the ground to where I'm not gonna die if I fall, but then I'm gonna trip and then eat shit and then I need some money. I'm hurt. Lawsuit. I'm pulling a Sorsby.
What about your mental health here going down here?
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
No, that's
power outage, shutting down the ride, and just, all of these people having to walk down from high up.
My wife just went to San Antonio on Sunday to do with the Alpine deal or whatever they do there. I'm not a thrill seeker. I don't like scary movies because what the hell do I want to be scared for? I don't need my heart. I'm old. I don't need my heart rate banging up there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I've been on that. That's not the one I was. No, I was on the smaller one. I wasn't on that thing.
And what do you do? Because there's this girl. I got a little screenshot, still shot here. This girl kind of at the front of the line. She's just holding on for dear life, not moving. What do you do if you're behind her? Like, you don't want to be up there for very long. You're trying to get down these steps as quickly as possible, and you got to – girl at the front of the line just not moving. What are you doing?
If it's a little kid, I'm just going to hold her hand. We're going to go down together. I'm not going to leave her
up there. I can't hold a random girl's hand.
Why not? I'm taking her down. I'm not. What do you think I'm doing? Trying to molest her on the way down?
You just said you're taking her down. So now you might be. Now I'm not sure.
I would try to help her down. I would suck it up enough to go ahead and do that. But I'm not, there's nobody behind me that's going to make me move any faster than I want to go down. That's for sure. You know that.
Right. Yeah, I get, you don't need to be running down. I understand that. But don't be like, we're trying to go here, all right? I'm suspended thousands of feet in the air. Please don't just stop, girl.
What are you thinking of doing? Throwing her over the edge?
Might have to. Just a quick shove. Maybe not over the edge, but just like a push forward, you know?
No, I don't get on those because I always think of myself – is that, you hear about a 1 in 5 million chance that a roller coaster is going to go off the edge. I always think I'm that guy that's going to end up in a parking lot in the backseat of somebody's car from the roller coaster ride.
Would you rather have to walk down like that, or would you rather be the guy who flies off the roller coaster?
No, I would still want to live. I'd take my chances going down, but there would be a pace that people behind me would not like.
Yeah. I believe that. So there's your BBK News little clip for the day.
I don't think the early bird gummies would make me go any faster going down that thing.
For no chance. And they'd help you relax a little bit, but not enough. Yeah, I don't
not
think.
Enough, no.
I'm not scared of heights. I'd rather make that walk in all seriousness. I know I've been saying all sorts of random stuff the last few
days. But you're not afraid of that? That doesn't bother you?
I'd rather make that walk than I think have to like go on every roller coaster at Six Flags in one day, you know?
You just don't like the weight. And I've gone to the, you know, when the kids were little, going to Disney World and all those trips to, you know, going to bowl games in Florida, going on that stuff. I'm the dad that sits there and, you know, one of the four kids doesn't want to make the trip. I'm the one who sits on the bench. We're going to sit right here at the bench and watch them in the line and go up. And when they come down, we'll meet them there with drinks in our hands, you know?
Mm-hmm. That is great. All right. Real quick, why today's not so bad before we get out of here. On this day in 1962, in front of 15,000 people at a Democratic fundraiser in Madison Square Garden, Marilyn Monroe stepped to the microphone, shed her fur coat to reveal a jaw-dropping, flesh-colored rhinestone dress, and sang happy birthday to President John F. Kennedy.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
The sultry happy birthday, Mr. President, on this day in 1962.
I was still just a kid.
You remember that? Like, not making an old joke. Is that like one of those events where everybody remembers where they were when it happened?
No, I don't remember where I was, but I have a picture of Marilyn Monroe. I have a picture of her.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, I still have it. I mean, it's a big print that I have upstairs in my attic. I mean, I can't put it up anywhere, but I have that.
Does your wife know you have that?
She knows.
Okay, that's good. That's why it's in the attic, though. She won't let it be anywhere else.
No, she won't let it. It can't be downstairs, no.
May 19th has been a really good day for great movies. Roadhouse came out in 1989 on this day. Awesome movie. Braveheart, 1995.
Nice.
Star Wars, two Star Wars movies, The Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith, and also Shrek 2.
Never saw Shrek 2.
It's a good one right there. And then some birthdays today before we get out of here. Kevin Garnett is 50. Archie Manning celebrating a birthday today. Grace Jones. How old do you think Grace Jones is?
I'm going to say she is 62.
78.
Wow.
Yeah. Pete Townsend of The Who?
88.
81. And I think that's all I care about today. It's National Roadie Day, so try that with your wife and see what she says.
Little roadie.
Or, you know, just take a, not you, but someone else take a beer on the road. And I don't think that's what they mean. I think it's...
No, that's not, no.
Roadies for cons, for bands going on tour and stuff. But,
yes.
I might have a beer with me when I drive, and I'll tell the cop it's National Roadie Day. That should work, right?
Yeah, no, that won't work.
Not going to work.
Okay. No.
All right, we're out of time. That's going to do it for a Tuesday show. Thanks to Chris Phillips and Carl Schoening for joining us. This was a fun one. Thanks to you, my friend. We will talk to all of y'all tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Hook 'em, y'all.
Have a good one. Hook 'em.